have it right before Shasa Yisra. Right? That's what we've agreed. You have to be, you can't leave it in your house if it belongs to another yid according to that.
Right.
But you would have to replace it after Pesach, the value of it? Because it's belongs to another yid and you're destroying his property. Is that true?
Oh, you're asking the Zekin laws. In other words, I think it works like this. Let's say you deposited your chametz in my rishus, and I said I'm not willing to take a chrayus for it. Then what I do is I call you up, so to speak, figuratively, and I say to you, look, in 2 hours from now, I should do this a week before, but I'm saying if it's the last 2 hours before, let's say it's the 10th hour on 10 o'clock on Erev Pesach, come over here and collect your chametz. And the responsibility now falls back on you, because if you don't collect your chametz, according to Rashi, the way the Gaon and the Pnei Yeshua understood Rashi, I'm going to have to destroy your chametz. So you have a choice. Either you get your rumpus over here, you collect your chametz, or I'm going to...
Okay, so therefore I'm not chayiv in
I don't think I'd be chayiv in
the
Zikin.
But in the case we learned yesterday about in the Gemara, Rava's case with the Bnei B'choza, Bnei Chela, where he's saying you would be chayiv for Gnei B'Vaveda on this chametz, you have a chayis on it, therefore you would have to pay it back. So now
yeah, that's because it belongs to a guy. He's not going to tolerate
this. Right, because so there's, by a yid, you never would say that the other yid who's in his house has a chayis for it. Well, what if he took a chayis for it? He took a chayis for it, and then he's going to burn it. So I have a chayis for your chametz. I accepted the chayis.
Then I'd have to pay for it.
Then pay back. So is it called gnei at the time that I destroyed it?
No. I think because it's Isuri Hanoah for both you and I.
Not yet. But I burned it before the Zman Yisur got up.
Ah.
And this is a form of the category of a Misa Baba Vera. I'm actually destroying your property without your reshus, even though I know you want it. It's like Zachan the Archel.
Right. Maybe it comes under Zachan the Archel. But I don't know. You're asking a technical question. Isn't it a minute before the Shas Isur? I don't know. Maybe he, he's had the Shita Satosus that the Mitzvah Tashmis only starts with.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, with the Inset. By the way, is Alan feeling okay?
Yeah, he's here. He's here.
Oh, he was
feeling well yesterday.
Okay.
All right, so I just did the first two.
Okay, great, Jeff. That'll probably keep us going.
Sam was pressuring me.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, don't blame me.
See, everybody's blaming everything on Sam.
I was a shliach of the rabbi. You were a shliach of the rabbi.
Yeah, like, I just thought you could have two photocopies at the same time.
No, that the fax machine is a very
really
poor
slow.
Copier, yeah. And you can't do it double. So,
oh, yeah. I see. Okay, I'll know for the future.
My wife sets me up all the time. I'm used to this.
Okay.
That's a typical schizophrenic formula. A schizophrenogenic. The mother buys the son two ties.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with the other?
Wait, say it again. The mother buys two ties.
The mother buys two ties for her son.
Her son.
And then, when he wears one, there's always a time you don't like the other one.
Ah. It's no matter what he does.
That's called the schizophrenogenic model. And now it's people who make their kids schizophrenic. They themselves are not, but they give double messages, and the kid, in order to manage it, just says, okay, so I'm a potato. So yeah, something like that. Because there's no way out.
A white potato? Or
sounds like you've been there, sir.
So, of course, our agenda for today is what I call a little bit out of order. What I mean by out of order, I had a safety here which I don't see now. It's called Hari Kedem.
I'm sorry, I xeroxed and left it there.
Oh, you left it there?
That's called passive aggressive.
Everything has a category.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could. Maybe Sam would give us a couple of.
My leaving it there was my unconscious resentment against being set up.
Set up.
I can't say anything to you. So now I'm saying I'm.
Okay.
Very good. Say daddy.
Okay. Very good.
Not
let me just explain to you why I'm changing the sequence here. I was trying to learn through a sugya on Daf Zion. On Daf Vav. And then I realized when I got to Daf Vav, which is a very profound sugya called Hamafarish by Yotze B'Shayara. And this is the famous sugya of Shloshim Yom Kon Machal. When I got to that, I realized, hey, wait a minute, I didn't finish the sugya of Achrayis. And there's a tremendous amount of iyun on the sugya of Achrayis. So lowest ayavilsa, and I was not able to complete my preparation, neither for Achrayis, nor for the sugya on Davav, which is the sugya of Yotzim Shayora. So therefore, I'm changing the order, and I'm going to learn with you, Ibirz Hashem, a sugya on Daf Zayin. So what I owe you is the Hashloma Daf Hei Amid Beis, which is the sugya Machrayas, and the sugya Mishfarish B'Yotzi B'Shayara, which is on Daf Vav. Okay, then now, having given that introduction, I hope I won't have to repeat myself, we're going to start on Daf Zayin. Now, the Gemara Daf Zayin is what I call a pretty straightforward Gemara. And we, you know, when we learn this Gemara, we don't realize how much lies below the surface, how much depth there is. So we're three lines up before the end of the Amud, and Bali Neder will come back to the sugya that we're skipping of Mafarish Riyotzi B'Shayora, and also the sugya Pasha Ipsha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, HaBodek Tzarech Sheyivarech. The Bodek needs to make a bracha. What is the nature of the bracha? So in Birchas HaMitzvos we know we have two categories of brachos. There's a bracha with an al and a bracha with a lamid. And that's going to be the machlokes about this bracha. So the Gemara quotes Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Rav Papi says, and they're all quoting Rava, that we should recite a bracha with a lamid, levayer chametz, which is more or less the classic nusach bracha. Because for most mitzvahs, we make a bracha with a lamid. There are going to be various exceptions to that rule, one of which, according to Rav Papa at least, is the case of bedikah. And he says that the nusach on the bedikah is al bir chametz. Now what we want to study is the following question, which is the obvious question: what are the rules that govern whether or not the bedikah, whether or not the bracha should be with an al or a lamed? So let me just ask you, did I ask you to do Mem Aleph? I hope I asked you Mem Aleph.
Yes, they're right here, sir.
Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry. Okay, I have. Good. Anybody want it? Mem Aleph? Okay. So what we're going to study now is the following. The Gemara seems to assume that there is a mashmos of lamed which is called lahaba mashma, whereas the mashmos of al is lamafreya, which means lishaavar. And for example, if you would have a mitzvah in which the mitzvah has already been achieved, and now you're making the bracha, and again we have to see why in those very few exceptional cases you're making the bracha after the mitzvah. After all, we have a principle of over lasiyason. But in such a case, the nusach ha-bracha would have to shift from a lamed to an al. That's one principle that comes out of the sugya. We're going to see that in the case of lulav, where the Gemara says that even before he shakes the lulav, he's already fulfilled the mitzvah, and that's called mida ad bei nafik bei. The Rambam is going to expand that to include bir chametz and justify the nusach of al, because the Rambam says as soon as he starts his bidik, he's already done what? Bittul. You remember that?
Yeah.
And the Rambam holds that bittul is the key of mitzvah of tashbisu. So that's number one. And the difference between al and lir is going to be a difference between al in l'sha'avar, he's already fulfilled and achieved the mitzvah, and lamed is lahaba, where he's about to embark upon the mitzvah. Now, in the cases of mila and shechita, there, clearly, he's reciting the bracha before the mila and before the shechita, and yet, the Raisa says that when the moel implements the mila, he should make the bracha al ha-mila. And in the case of shechita, the shochet should make the bracha al ha-shechita. And the Gemara explains another nuance in the difference between al and li. The word li, the word that follows the prefix li, lamed, is indicative of the fact that I'm obligated. Asher kitshar mitzvah sabat zivanu lamul. If the father himself is implementing the mila, then he'll make the bracha lamul. If on the other hand, the moel, who's not a bar chiyuva, is implementing the mila, then he has to shift his nusach from lamed to al. And the same thing in case of shechita, that no one's obligated in shechita, because shechita is always an optional mitzvah. Therefore, the bracha is going to be with an al.
Al means about the topic, regarding the.
Yeah, somehow al. Again, we don't understand that. That's part of the subject that we're going to study. Al is a more general, all-inclusive language. It's on the entity of the mitzvah, whereas lamed is on the chiyuv,
right,
or on the maisa that I'm about to implement. So what we're going to study now is the Rambam. The Rambam, you'll see on the bottom right paragraph on page Mem Aleph. And this is the last Rambam in Hilchas Brachos, in the 11th chapter. There are 11 chapters to Hilchas Brachos. So the Rambam writes the following: Kol kol ha'osa mitzvah, bein she'osa chov olav, bein she'eino chov olav, im osa osa li'atzmo, mevarech lasos. So take, for example, the mitzvah of Shechita. According to the Rambam, it would seem that the nusach that would be appropriate for shechita would be with a lamed, lasos. Why? Because the Rambam says that it doesn't matter whether it's a chova olav or an eino chova olav. And yet, the Rambam requires a bracha with a lamed. However, osa osa la'acherim, if on the other hand, it's not a mitzvah that he's doing on his own behalf, either obligatory or optional, but rather it's a mitzvah he's doing on behalf of someone else, then the Rambam says, Oso solacherim mevarech al ha'asiyah. And it seems from the language of the Rambam that the difference between the brach of lasos and the brach of al is not reflective of what we call a matbea ha'bracha. It goes way beyond that. But rather, it reflects on the mashmos ha'bracha. In other words, what is the meaning of a bracha with a lamed, vasitaych, meaning what is the translation of lamed, and what is the meaning of a bracha with an al? If the bracha is with a lamed, then the bracha is on the chiyuv. Again, we have to see exactly, because the Rambam says bein she'eino shalchov, for what that means. But if the bracha is not on the chiyuv, then we shift the bracha to a, he calls it imabrochi al chivas, is fine, or the bracha al hachefta da'asiyah, meaning the result of the asiyah. And that's a case where you are implementing a mitzvah on behalf of someone else. So you're not making a bracha on the chiyuv, which is called lasos, but rather you're making a bracha on the al, on the result of this asiyah. The result of the asiyah is that Yenom, who sent me as a shliach, he's going to fulfill his mitzvah. So we'll come back to this again, because the Rambam again says that you can make a bracha with a lamed even if it's not a chova olav. So what does the Rambam mean by that? Now we're going to fast forward to another Rambam in the same chapter. The Rambam says im a mitzvah ein a chova el rishus. So again, until now he's talking about a mitzvah which was not a chova. Now he's talking about a mitzvah which is a rishus. Kimo bi'eruv mevarech al. Now that makes a lot of sense, because if we're saying that the bracha on al is not on the chova, but rather on the result of the chova, then in the case of a rishus like eruv, you cannot make the bracha on the chova, and therefore the bracha is going to be made on the result of the mitzvah, which is called an al.
Result of the chova, or something that's not a chova at all.
Correct. If it's a chova, then you can make a bracha with a lamed, and lasso, says the Rambam, is on the chova. I have a chiyuv to implement this mitzvah, and therefore I'm going to make a bracha with a lamed. If, on the other hand, I'm implementing this mitzvah on your behalf, can't make a bracha on
there's
a
no
chova.
No obligation on the actor.
Yeah, in this case, there's no obligation on the actor,
well,
because
no
he's a shliach. Or in the case of Erev, there's no obligation at all for anyone. And therefore, in both those cases, the bracha has to shift from a lamed, which is on the chova, to the al, which, as we said before, is a more encompassing language, which indicates the ultimate goal of the mitzvah, so to speak. Now the Rambam, in the next halacha, has a third category where you shift from a lamed to an al. You're not doing it for acherim, and it's not a rishus. And what's the case? Lulav. And the Rambam says here too, the bracha is going to shift from a lamed to an al. Why is that? Da mevarech al halulav, mevarech al ha'asiya, with an al, lefisha kvar yotza yidei chovasa. So again, on the one hand, I'm very happy about this Rambam, because we just finished saying that according to the Rambam, the bracha lasos is on the chovas asiyah. Here, I've already implemented the asiyah. That's based on the principle of bina agbe nafik be. And if I can't make a bracha with a lamed, the bad news is I'm not sure exactly what does it mean now. So what is the nature of the bracha? It's a bracha al ha'asiyah. What does it mean, al? Is it on the asiyah that I did a minute ago? Or is it on the ultimate nanuim and some sort of an embellishment to the mitzvah that I accomplished? That's not clear. The Rambam now classifies netils yadayim and shechita under the second principle, right? So let's go over. We have three principles. Principle number one is, are you obligated and therefore you make a bracha with a lamed? Principle number two is that even in the mitzvahs obligatory, you're fulfilling it on behalf, you're implementing on behalf of someone else. And principle number three is you've already done the asiyah. Now the Rambam takes the tils yadayim and shechita, and he categorizes them under the middle category where there's no chova, and therefore, whole advarish should. No, I'm sorry. We have. Just 1 second. Did I get this wrong? Wait, give me a second. Sorry. Is it three categories? Just 1 second. If I'm doing it on behalf of someone else. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say it one more time, just for my own purposes. So the first category is, am I obligated in the mitzvah or am I doing it on your behalf? The second category is a mitzvah that doesn't have a chovah for anybody. And the third category is a mitzvah that I've already implemented the Maisa Mitzvah. Now in the second category of something like Erevin, which is not a chova at all for anybody, the Rambam subsumes Netilas Yadayim and Shechita. And he says that's called the Dvar Rishus, and therefore it doesn't matter whether he's shechting on your behalf or on his own behalf, it's always going to be a bracha with Al HaShechita. The al kisya da, the al netils yadayim. Meaning, there's never a situation in which I'm obligated in netils yadayim. There's never a situation in which I'm obligated in shechita, and therefore comes under the category of erevin. And the bracha is not on the chiyuv, which would be a bracha with a lamin, but it would be a bracha with an al on the general concept of the mitzvah.
It's no chiyuv al netils yadayim because I never, ever, ever have to wash.
Right.
But if I'm going to either do a mitzvah deraisa of matzah on Pesach where I have to wash beforehand, that wouldn't therefore change the nature of the netila to a chiyuv instead of a,
right. That's a good question. Let's say in the case of matzah, would the Rambam now shift the bracha to a lamed? I suspect that the Rambam is going to apply the principle of lo plug. In other words, since the netils yadayim by its very essence is a rishus, you may find a situation in which you have to do it, but nevertheless. Like, for example, I have to eat meat, right? Let's say on Yom Tov. So what am I going to do? If I don't do shechita, I won't be able to eat the meat. But the Rambam is saying that shechita as an essential category is a rishus. There may be, you know, various scenarios that for reasons, you know, I technically need the shechita, but that doesn't change the nature of the
shechita. It's a prerequisite, but the Torah does not mechayev you to wash. You have to eat, and this is
the right. But still, the Rambam is not differentiating here between a Doraisa and a Drabbanon. Meaning, if I have a Chovah Drabbanon, the Rambam is going to say I make a bracha with a lamed. That's going to be Lahadok Ner Shel Chanukah, for example. Then we're going to ask about the Rambam's Kash about Al Mikra Megillah, and that we'll get to, I think, on the other side of the page. Right. Okay. Now.
See, I would just always say about Kisri Adam. I don't have to do Shechita, therefore I don't do Kisri Adam. But once I did Shechita.
No, you have to do Kisri Adam. You have to do Kisri Adam.
Well, only after you've
done Shechita. No, but it's done. Now it's right now, you're Mechuyev.
Because I've done Shechita.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But
it does matter, because if I don't have to do Shechita, then I never have a Chiyuv to do Kisri Adam the rest of my life.
No, we're not talking about then, we're talking about now. Do you have to do Shechita? Do you have to do Kisri Adam now? Yes.
Why?
Do you have to wash? No.
Why do I have to do Kisri Adam?
Because you have a Shechita.
Ah, because I've done Shechita.
Because it's here in front of you.
No, because I've done Shechita. If I don't do Shechita, I don't have the mitzvah of Kisita.
I protest.
If somebody else did the Shechita, you have a
No, you don't.
No, it's only on the Shochet. It's part of the mitzvah of the Shechita, right? Yeah, it's an extension of the mitzvah of Shechita. Once the mitzvah of Shechita is defined as Rishus, I guess he defines ipso facto the mitzvah of Kisi Adam as Rishus.
Not master.
Okay. Vinira. Be Seder Halachos. Okay, now we want to see what the Rambam was trying to convey here in the sequence of these various rules. And he says the following. Ein b'chol makom tam chadash. He's not saying that in each case we have to come up with a new reason for the brach of al. El adiyesh evdel b'ikar mashmos ha-brach ha-bein. All the Rambam is trying to convey in these three cases is that there's a fundamental difference in the explanation of the bracha, whether it's with a lamed, lasos, or whether it's an al, and it's a bracha on the mitzvah itself. Lachain, afshemat be'a brachas mitzvah saposhet u'levarach b'lasos, the Rambam would say that if all things are equal, you make the bracha lasos, that's the nature of a mitzvah. Mikomakom, there are some exceptions to the rule, he cannot recite the bracha lasos, and therefore the fallback position, so to speak, is a bracha with an al. Vitzarech Bir, he's not happy. He would like to understand this on a deeper level. So he says the following, that when you talk about lasos, according to the Rambam, and you're focused on the chova, therefore the bracha is going to be with a lamed. And that bracha means lamed. This is the nature of my chiyuv. The mitzvah of a chova, and now the mitzvah of rishus. So that covers the case in Halacha Yudalid that we mentioned before, that was the case of Erevin, which is not a chova, but rather a shus. And also, that will cover the case of the Tilas Lulav, where the Rambam says, I can't make the bracha on the chova because I've already implemented the chova. And also, if let's say I'm implementing the mitzvah on behalf of someone else, and I don't have the chova, so therefore I can't make the bracha with a lamed. Ulam. Bechai Gavna, she'ein achovu mutelas olav, kigon mitzvah shel reshus, be'ofet shekvar yotzi yidei chavos, kigon lulav, ok shemavorech, for a mitzvah that he's not obligated because he's an agent for someone else. In all these cases, he cannot make a brach on the chova, either because there is no chova for anybody, or else he has already implemented his chova, or because he's not obligated and someone else is obligated. The matbea bracha has to shift from the lamed to the, he calls it the cheftish of mitzvah, or perhaps we can call it the result of the mitzvah, and therefore it's a bracha with an al. So just to summarize what we said until this point, it seems that according to the Rambam, there's a difference in the very meaning of these two nuschos. So it's not just technical, it's the meaning of lamed means I'm obligated lasos, whatever I'm obligated in. And if I can't make a bracha lasos because there's no obligation, then the bracha shifts to al hasiya, which he calls the cheftishal mitzvah. And once again, as we said yesterday, there's a quote here from the Meiri. I don't know who's quoting the Meiri. Ha kol shemavarech bi'al eino mora ela al klal ha-mitzvah, says the Meiri. Shushayach bi'osa mitzvah, afal pishena mitzuva al maiseh zeh. So the Meiri clearly indicates that we shift from lamed to an al because there's no mitzvah, there's no obligation on this mice. Okay, now let's see if this structure can shed a light on a Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. This is a Rambam in Perek Zayin, Mihilchos Tefillah. I'm sorry. There are two Rambams that we have to discuss here. This Rambam is Birchas HaTorah, and then we'll have a Rambam later in Perek Yud Aleph about Birchas Kriyas HaTorah. So first, the Rambam says, Hamashkin Likro BaTorah. A man wakes up and he wants to read Torah, and he hasn't yet recited the brachas of a Kriyat Shema, because again, if he started with the brachas of Kriyat Shema before he recited Birchas HaTorah, that's a whole other set of rules and regulations that have to do with Ava Rava. Is Bein Shekorei B'Torah B'Ksav, Bein Shekorei B'Torah B'Alpeh, Notel Yodav Tchila, U'mevarech Gimel Brachos, V'Achakach Korei, V'Eluhem, and it finally culminates with Asher Kitshon Mitzvos and Tzivonu Al Divrei Torah. That's the Rambam's Nusach. So the Rambam has a bracha with an Al on Talmud Torah. So if you turn to page Mem Beis, he says the following. Why is it that the bracha on Talmud Torah cannot be a bracha with a lamed, because again, according to the way we formulated it, whenever you're being mevarach on a chova, then you make the bracha with a lamed, and the Rambam shifts the bracha from a lamed to an al. What is that all about? So we're up to a paragraph that says ach nira, and he says the following. Reb Chaim had a problem, and it's a problem that many mefarshim address. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Rambam, that a woman, if she's exempt from a mitzvah, she doesn't make a bracha on that mitzvah. There's no such thing as a bracha on a voluntary mitzvah. But yet, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a woman will make a bracha on Torah. And how could it be, since we have Vishinatu Vanech Lobno Secha, how could she make a bracha on Talmud Torah? It's an optional mitzvah. I mean, it would make sense according to Rabbi Natan, who says that a woman makes a bracha on an optional mitzvah. But the Machaber, Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Shita of the Rambam, that there is no bracha on an optional mitzvah. So how can she recite that bracha on Talmud Torah? Again, there are 1,001 answers to this question. But Reb Chaim had his own particular approach. And he suggested that the way they established the bracha on Talmud Torah, it was not a classic formulation of a chov, of a birchas hamitzvah. In other words, what generates this bracha on Torah is not going to be what we call the Chovas Gavra. V'eina birchas ha-mitzvah in the sense of a bracha on the Chova, but rather it's a bracha on the Torah itself, on the result of study of Torah, that you create an entity of Torah. And therefore the Rambam holds that a woman, no less than a man, could create a Cheftza Shel Torah, an entity called Torah. And if the bracha is not on the Chovas Gavra, but rather on the entity of Torah, therefore, the bracha has to shift from a lamed to an al. And that's true in the case of a woman.
When you say entity, you're not talking about the act of learning. You're talking about like creating some kind of spiritual entity.
Right, right. And it has halachic significance. Like, for example, you're not allowed to learn in a bathroom or a bathhouse, right? Because you're taking that entity of Torah and you're basically sort of, you're desecrating its sanctity.
You're creating something.
Right, and therefore there are dinim that you're not allowed to walk in front of someone who's learning if you go into that radius where the Chetz Shel Torah is. And there are many different dinim of Chetz Shel Torah, which we could study that.
It's ethereal, right? I mean, it's there, so
right.
To speak.
So wait a minute, let's just, again, you caught me in the middle of a paragraph, as I told you, I spent a lot of time trying to prepare a shir on Dafav, and it didn't work out for me. So let's just see if we can get this down. He says the following. The Rambam holds, based on this understanding of Reb Chaim, that the bracha on Torah has to shift from lamed to an al, because the bracha is not on the Chovas Gavra, which is the meaning of lasos, but rather it's on the Cheftza Shel Torah. And therefore, when we speak about the matbeah of the bracha b'loshan al, which is a bracha that's not on the chovas gavra, but on the guf cheftza shel mitzvah, in the case of Talmud Torah, kevan she'eina birchas hamitzvos, in other words, the bracha is not on the mitzvah per se, the obligation, he's not being mevarach on the chovas gavra, but rather on the cheftza shel Torah, is therefore, in order to indicate that, we have to change the nusach bracha from a lamed, which is the normal, that's the upstanding, that's the way we normally make a bracha, to al. And that's called in the Rambam's language, al divrei Torah. Yeah, Alan, you want to say something?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to, I wasn't clear what you were saying. You mean every day you create a chefza, that's a chefza shel Torah.
Right. And not only every day, I would say every time you learn something, maybe every letter or every word, is a chefza shel
Torah. It's a separate one.
Right. That's why the Gaon has a kasha at the beginning of Masech Tabea. He asks, why don't we make a bracha every time we sit down to learn?
Yeah, that was
his. So he has an answer. I don't know, I'm not sure I understand his answer. He says that there's never Hesek Hadas, meaning until you go to sleep at night, then whatever you get occupied with, it's all part of a general, whatever. All this has to be
on the following morning. You got to start over
not
again.
But every morning there's a new chiyuv, and then on that new chiyuv you have to make a bracha. Mm-hmm. Again, you can call it from Reb Chaim's perspective a new cheftza shel Torah on a daily basis. Okay.
Each time you stop. New cheftza Torah, each time you stop.
Right, when there's a hesek hadas. So if you had a Hesek Hadas within one day, then you'd have to make a new bracha because it's a new Chefs Shel Torah.
Yeah, let's make that.
All right. Anyway, Rabosai, this sets the stage, so to speak, to an analysis of the Ravid and the Rambam. Now, where does the Ravid get upset on the Rambam? It's the following. The Rambam says that there is a possibility of reciting a bracha even after I've achieved the mitzvah. We saw that in the case of the Tilas Lulav. And the Rambam justifies the shift to Al Netilas Lulav because once, the Rambam says, he lifted up the Lulav, he was already Yotzi Dechovaso. Aval in Birech Kodem Shi'itol, the Rambam says explicitly that if he would recite the bracha before he takes the Lulav, it's not clear in the Rambam whether the Rambam is advocating doing so, but in that scenario, the Rambam says, Mevarech Litol Lulav. In other words, he hasn't yet implemented his chova, and the bracha on a chova is going to be with a lamed. Says the Rambam, Mikana tolomed, shamavarech achar sha'asa, mivarech al ha'asiya. So what would be in the following case? Let's say instead of making the bracha l'sa'atev patzitzis, or laniach tefillin, I put on my tzitzis, I put on my tefillin, And now I'm liachar asiyah. So the Rambam seems to indicate in such a case that you would make a bracha, but not with a lamed, but rather al hasiyah. So the Ravid writes the following: Hine lidvarav im shachach beatifas tzitzis avanochas tefillin velo birach mitchila kishiyizkar viyavarech mevarech al atifas tzitzis. No, I'm sorry, mevarech. Just one second. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Mevarech al atifas tzitzis, v'al hanochas tefillin, v'eino ken, sharei mitzvaso kol hayom. So this is the ambiguity in the Ravid. The Rambam seems to be aflav a fella. The Rambam is giving you further examples. He gave you one example in the case of Netilas Lulav, mina'ag bein nofik bei. Now we have other examples. We have the example of someone who didn't make the bracha before he put on the tzitzis, someone who didn't make the bracha before he put on the tefillin. And once again, the bracha is going to have to shift from a lamed on the Chovas Gavra to an al. Says the Ravid, no. The Ravid says that even if he forgot to make the bracha before the tzitzis, before the tefillin, then he's going to still make a bracha with a lamed. Why? Sharei mitzvaso kol hayom. So in other words, the Ravid is saying he still has a chiyuv, if you follow what I'm saying.
He's making on the future, but then he will have missed the bracha on what he did.
Correct.
Right. If he does ow, it sounds like he can...
So you're in favor of the Rambam.
It sounds like he can satisfy both, because but the Ravid can make ow anyway on the future, and at least this way you rescue the bracha requirement for the beginning, no?
Is that true?
You said the same kind of thing by Bir Chametz. I'm modeling what you once said by Bir Chametz.
Right. If we assume that according to the Rambam, the reason why we want Al is not only because he was already Yosei Eschiyu, but also because the Al wants to now encompass Lemafreya exactly what he started with, then that might be a resolution to the Ravid's objection here. But let's just try to understand first. So, Sam, hold on to your Torah.
I was stealing from you and Bir Chametz.
That's good. Good. Stealing is good. When it comes to Torah, we love to steal, right? But before you give this teretz, let's just ask the question. And the question is, what bothers the Ravid? The Ravid says that Eino Kein. And Eino Kein means we're not going to shift the Nusach HaBracha in this case to an Al. And his answer is, Sharei Mitzvaso Kol Hayom. So he says the following. First of all, the Ravid, according to Rav Salvation, comes with a deal. Meaning, the Rambam never actually says explicitly that if you forgot to make the bracha before you put on the tzitzis, then you make a bracha al afterwards. But there are three words in the Rambam that, according to this interpretation, the Ravid was building on. Go back to the Rambam and see in line 4, the Rambam says, after telling you that Netilas Lulav requires a bracha with an al, he writes, Umikana tolomed. In other words, the Rambam goes out of his way to point out that Lulav is not just a is not an exhaustive case, but rather it's a case in point. And anything, says the Rambam, that fits into the category of lulav, shemavarech achar sha'asa, the Rambam says varech al asiya. And the Rambam jumped to the following conclusion, that what situation, what scenario would be, because again, we have a principle called over l'asiyasa, when would be allowed to make the bracha even after the asiya, that's in these two cases, of atifas tzitzis and anochas tefillin. So that's what the Rambam had in mind when he said, mikan atolomit, that we don't have brachas after the asiya, but in these two cases of tzitzis and tefillin, we can make the bracha after the asiya. So it's not just the case of lulav, but there are other cases as well. Now, if you look on the top of the left column, he adds two other cases, two other mitzvahs where you can make the bracha after the asiya, and that's the bracha bir chavetz. Because the Rambam explains that the reason why we make the bracha al bir chavetz is because he was makayim the mitzvah before he embarked on his bedikah. And then we have the case of tvila, where the bracha is shifted from the bracha on the chovas tvila, or in the case where there is no chovas tvila, like for example the ger before he's misgayer, so the bracha therefore shifts to post tvila, and therefore the bracha is going to be al hatvila. In other words, we have to take the Rambam and his principle, says the Rambam, and apply it to the case of tefillin and tzitzis. Now, there is a Rambam which would seem to indicate almost explicitly that in these cases of tefillin and tzitzis, you would make the bracha after the mitzvah, after the asiyah, after you put on the tzitzis, after you put on the tefillin. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Hey, which unfortunately I forgot to bring, but let's see if we can do without bringing the Rambam. And he says that in a case where he put on his tefillin, or he put on his tzitzis, he could still make the bracha. Again, the Rambam doesn't go into detail about what the nusach bracha would be, but the Rambam says he still can make the bracha. Why sha'asiyasa adayin kayemes? You see that phrase? That's a quote from the Rambam, line 5. So the Ravid writes, oh, the tefillin utzitzis li olam avi over lasios, and it's not the way the Rambam would said it, would seem to accept it, that now the bracha is not over lasios and he already has the asiyah behind him, but rather the Rambam is saying asiyos adayin kayemes, which means it is over lasios. And therefore the Ravid argues that in these cases the nusach bracha should not have to shift. It should be the old nusach bracha with the lamed. In other words, in terms of the Rambam, the Ravid is saying there's a mimonef shach here. The Rambam doesn't make any sense. If the Rambam holds that you can't make a bracha after tefillin and tzitzis, after you don them, that's because you forfeited over lasiyosan, and these mitzvahs don't lend themselves to a bracha that's not over lasiyosan. That's liachar asiyosan nicha. Ella what? We're going to assume that when the Rambam says mikana tolomed, he meant to include even tefillin and tzitzis, meaning that you can make the bracha after the asiyah. Well, the Rambam tells you exactly why you're allowed to make a bracha after the asiyah in these two cases. Namely, because asiyah saw dayin kayemes. Says the Ravid, the Rambam himself has boxed himself into a stalemate. Because the Rambam is telling you that the reason why you're making a bracha on tefillin and tzitzis after you don them is because adayin asiyos kayemes, which means that it is over lasiyos, which means that the bracha should be with a lamed and not with an al. How could the Rambam say that there's a bracha after you put on the tefillin, after you put on the tzitzis, but the bracha is going to shift from a lamed to an al because you've already implemented the mitzvah, when the Rambam justifies the bracha based on adayin asiyos kayemes, which means that there is over lasiyosan? Well, if there's over lasiyosan and there's an asiyah that's coming down the line, then I should be making a bracha with a lamed. So in the paragraphs that starts with Ubibir, Rav Salvation tries to understand the Rambam Shita and then tries to understand why the Ravid refuses to accept the Rambam. The Rambam holds, he says, that there's something called a Maisa Mitzvah and then there's something called Asiyasa Kayemis. They shouldn't be confused, they're not identical. A Maisa Mitzvah is called Atifa or Hanoch, when I take something that's outside of my body and I put it on top of my body. However, there's something called Adayin Asiyasa Kayemis, when the mitzvah continues, meaning the Kiruma mitzvah continues, it's Nimshach, although the Maisa Mitzvah is no longer being implemented. And the Rambam holds that the only way you can make a brach with a lamin is if you have a Maisa Mitzvah. The Rambam does allow in the possibility of a Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes, which means that although there's no Maisa Mitzvah, every moment that passes generates a Kiruma Mitzvah. If every moment generates a Kiruma Mitzvah, although it's not over Lasiyosa in the strict sense, but it's over Lekiruma Mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam would hold that the bracha of the Lashon Lasos is a bracha when I'm obligated in a certain asiyah. If I don't have that asiyah, then I can't make the bracha with a lamin. And therefore, the Rambam says that you can't make a bracha on the asiyah, but you still can make a bracha because we anticipate the kiyuma mitzvah. And if that be the case, when you make a bracha on the kiyuma mitzvah, the nusach habracha shifts from a lamin to an al. The Ravid disagrees because the Ravid holds that since the Kiruma Mitzvah continues, so every moment I'm wearing my tefillin, I'm wearing my tzitzis, I have an additional Kiyum. Therefore, says the Ravid, Yeshalav Chova Lahamshin is Kiruma Mitzvah. And therefore, since the Bracha is essentially on the Chova, that's what the lamin means. I continue to make the Bracha with a lamin. So let's just summarize the Machlokshi, the Rambam, and the Ravid. The Rambam holds that in order to make a bracha with a lamed, you need not only a chova, but you also need an asiyah. The Rambam will allow for a bracha even after the asiyah, as long as the kiyum ha-mitzvah is nimshach, but then the bracha has to shift from a lamed to an al. The lashon of al is indicative of the fact that I'm still involved in a kiyum ha-mitzvah, and I have a kiyum ha-mitzvah nimshach, so I can make the bracha even after I put on the tefillin, on the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but the bracha on the Kiyum HaMitzvah has to be reflected in the change of the Nusach from Lamed to an Al. The Raven, on the other hand, holds that if there's a continuous mitzvah, it means that I'm obligated in that continuous mitzvah. And if I'm obligated in continuous mitzvah, even if I don't have the Maisa, even if I don't have the Asiya, nevertheless I can make a bracha on the continued Chovas HaGavra, and that's called Omer Lasiyosan. So as the Rambam wants two conditions. He wants the condition number one, that I have a chova in order to make a bracha with the lamin. The Rambam adds another condition. I have to have a maisa mitzvah. So if I have a continued chova but no maisa mitzvah, then the bracha has to shift from the maisa mitzvah to the kiyuma mitzvah, hence from a lamin to an al. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds that I only have one condition to justify a bracha with a lamin, and that is a chovas gavra. Even if that's chovas gavra, which I anticipate will be fulfilled in a minute, still is done passively by keeping my tefillin on my body without an asiyah. Nevertheless, I only have one condition for the lamin. All I need is a lamin on the continuous obligation to fulfill the mitzvah. Hence, there's no reason or justification to shift the bracha from a lamed to an al.
So according to the Rambam, then why is it that after you go to the bathroom, you don't have to make another Birchas HaTorah?
I don't understand. We're talking about Birchas HaTorah now? What, let's go over what we said about Birchas HaTorah. You hit me with a...
No, you were talking about Limud Torah.
So we were talking about Limud Torah. That's not what I was talking about now. I was talking about Tefillin and Mezuzah, about Limud Torah. Now you want to shift back to...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let's shift back to Talmud Torah. Give me a minute to get my head wrapped around Talmud Torah. So what do we say about Talmud Torah? The Rambam in Talmud Torah, instead of Lasok with Torah, is our Nusach. The Rambam has Al. So we question, why is it, if according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, like any mitzvah which is obligatory, requires a bracha, then the bracha should be on the chova, which is a bracha with a lamed, the Rambam says. So why does he shift the nusach bracha from a lamed to an al? So what are you saying, Al? Okay, you have another answer?
So what I'm saying is that when he goes to the bathroom, though, it's also for him to have even a machshava of Torah. So going to the bathroom is a definite hefsek in his chiyuv.
It's a general question you have, according to everybody.
Yeah.
No Rambam, no
well,
stuff.
What he's saying is that how can he come out of the bathroom and not make another Birchas HaTorah? Is that your question?
Right.
Oh, excellent. That's an excellent question.
But that's
let's just repeat Alan's question. Alan's saying the following, that there's something called a Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes, but that requires another bracha. In other words, the first bracha is gone. Or in the case of the Rambam, where he puts on his tefillin without even making a bracha, so he never even had the first bracha. But what would be in a case, that's what Alan's asking, in a case where the first bracha is gone because of a hefsek or a hefsek hadas? So l'chora, at that point, he should need a new bracha. So we said before that the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, claims that there's no such thing as hefsek hadas. Now, what does that mean? It's true that for that moment, I'm not allowed to be mahar b'divrei Torah, right? Also lahar b'divrei Torah b'beis hamerchatz. But nevertheless, my overall consciousness, or maybe it's a subconscious kind of awareness, is that as soon as I get out of the washroom, I'm going to continue my Torah. So the question is that moment that I'm in a situation where I cannot study, is that hesek hadas, or do I have the ability to extend my das to include even the time period after the Easter is gone, meaning after I get out of the bath?
So what you're saying now is that if your intention is to continue on the other side, right. but
and the Gaon says you always have an intention to continue.
Yes, but that's if you, what you're saying. The problem is when you're in the bathroom is has a das. But if the problem is that you lose your chiyuv during that time because it's usher to be maharer, so there's no chiyuv. So there's a new chiyuv. It has nothing to do with has a das.
That's so what we're saying is that the chiyuv of Talmud Torah encompasses the entire day, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep.
Except.
And even though there are moments in which you cannot implement that chiyuv, but the chiyuv is still there. It's
the
not like
it's there, it's like you're an anus or something.
Yeah.
So you're saying
it's like a case of...
It's an allgemeine chiyuv, isn't it?
Yeah, that encompasses the whole day.
So, but then that's not on... It's not on, on the on the gavra, then. It's on the hefts, I guess. It's on the
okay, Chaim would be very happy with that.
Okay, I'm sure. Okay.
Right, and since it's on the cheft, and if you make the bracha with the vowel.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right. Okay. Now, Rabosai, Jeff, you were kind enough to photocopy some pages for me, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put this on the side, and hopefully we'll come back to this later. And again, I still owe you two sugyas that I want to fill in for next week in Mitzvah Shem. One is Kabbalah Sakhrayus, and the other is the sugya of Hayotze B'Shayur. So if you could turn to page Shin Aleph. I'm sorry, Shin Ayin, I meant to say.
This is Shin Ayin.
You have Shinayin? I think in the past we've already distributed Shinayin. I'm not sure.
I got it.
Oh, you have it?
Yes.
Now, on the previous page, we vacillated back and forth exactly when does the mitzvah of Sipur Tzayim terminate? Is it when he falls asleep? Or is it through the entire night? Is it up till Chatzos? Is it even after Chatzos? But here on page Shin Ayin, he addresses a different question. And he says the following. How do we define the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? And he offers two answers to that question. One is Talmud Torah. And we see that Talmud Torah repeats itself or is inherent in Sipur Tzayim over and over and over again. We talk about the She'elo Tshuva of the Ben HaChacham, the four Bonim, Begat Eto L'Bincha, the Rambam writes, L'fi Daito Shel Ben Oviv Molamdo, that's the Lashon of the Rambam, Chanoch L'Nar Al Pidarko. We had the Drosha of Parashas Arami Ovid Ovi, which is an integration of Torah Shemichsav and Torah Shemalpeh. All this comes under Talmud Torah. What about someone who knows it all, so to speak? There are no chidushim to be mechadish to him on Leil HaSeder. Anything you'll tell him, he already knows. So he has a separate paragraph in the Haggadah that addresses this very question. And the paragraph goes as follows. We all know it by heart. Afilu kulanu chachamim. Kulanu nevod, kulanu zkenu, kulanu yodim es haTorah, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, v'chol amarva l'saper reza b'shuba. This paragraph in Haggadah is coming lafuke. We shouldn't think that because we know it all, afilu kulanu yodim es haTorah, that therefore we are exempt from this mitzvah. but rather mitzvah leinu, nevertheless, we're obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And hence, we're ready for what's called ribui, and kol amarbe is areza meshubach. So the other day I gave you out a photocopy that looks like this. Do you remember this? It's a staple, very nicely.
What is it? From where?
This Rabbi Grazan's article.
Oh, okay, okay. Sam, don't embarrass me.
Oh, this is from Hadaro?
Hadaro, right. So on page 33, we have a section here, which again, I was unaware of this paragraph from the Seder Aruch, but I think we could make a connection between the two. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Menachos about a discussion, so to speak, between a nephew and an uncle. And Ben Dama, who is the sister of, he is the son of the sister of Rabbi Shmuel, turns to Rabbi Shmuel and he asks him the following question. Apparently the chachma, the wisdom of that day in the secular world, the non-Jewish world, was what's called Chachma Yevanit, right? The Greek philosophers. So this Ben Dama turns to his uncle and he says to him, Kagonani, a person like myself, Shalamadati Kola Torah Kula. Now that's a pretty heavy description of oneself. But again, they didn't have all the published form that we had. You know, maybe they had the Sifri and the Sifra and the Mechilta, but they didn't have all the different, you know, Torah Shebal Peh, you know, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Poskim. So he describes himself as Lamadati as Kola Torah Kula. Ma'u Lilmon Chachmi Yevanis. I fulfill my obligation vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. As long as I'm chayav in Talmud Torah, that's an ongoing mitzvah. You know, there's no time to divert my attention to, and digress with Chochmah Yevanis. But now, I've achieved the ultimate, the summit of the mountain, right? And now I'm ready for Chochmah Yevanis. So the Gemara reports that Rabbi Shmuel didn't even bother answering his question in any explicit way, but rather Karl Avos HaMikra Zeh. He just quoted a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, and then he understood that that Ben Dama's nephew would get the message. Lo yomish Sefer Torah Azem mipicha v'gisa bo yomam v'layla. Now again, this pasuk indicates that there's an ongoing constant chiyuv in Talmud Torah. But again, the goal of Talmud Torah is to achieve the knowledge of Torah. So in a sense, this pasuk is not relevant to the question that Ben Dama asked his uncle. Because Ben Dama is saying, "Kagonani shalamadati kol Torah kula." If I already achieved the goal of Talmud Torah, then this pasuk, lo yomish sefer Torah zem mipicha, doesn't apply. And the funny kind of addition that Rabbi Shmuel added to his statement to his nephew is, "Tseu bedok." In the light of this pasuk in Yeshua, go find out if there's a shah she'ena lo min hayom v'lo min halayla. So what was the debate here? What was the havamin of Ben Dama? And what was the maskana of Rabbi Shmuel? Obviously, Ben Dama understood that the goal of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is yediyas haTorah. And since he had achieved that goal, he was therefore exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now he can study Chochmah Yevanis.
So why is he asking?
He just wanted to get the okay from his uncle. I think he was probably asking because he wasn't sure what his uncle would say about Chochmah Yevanis. In other words, even if you're potter from Talmud Torah, you might not be able to learn Chochmah Yevanis. But it's interesting, Rabbi Shmuel had no objection to studying Chochmah Yevanis. You know, Aristotle and Socrates and Plato, that would be okay. The problem is going to be the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So what was the answer of Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel says there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One is Limud Torah and one is Yediyas HaTorah. From the perspective of Yediyas HaTorah, the Limud Torah is only a means to an end. But there's a separate independent mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah is an end unto itself. And even if you have achieved the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, you're still obligated in Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah per se, Ba'atz Musa, is a mitzvah. Even if it won't lead to Yediyah, even if you've already accomplished your Yediyah, the mitzvah of Limud Torah is b'yom u'balayla. Hence, when the pasuk says v'gisa b'yom u'balayla, what it means is that there's a separate independent mitzvah of Limud as an end unto itself. and it has nothing to do with Yediyas HaTorah. It doesn't say V'gisa b'yom v'layla k'dei sheyedes HaTorah. It doesn't say in the pasuk that once you've achieved Yediyas HaTorah, then it no longer applies. And V'gisa b'yom is not obligatory. No, V'gisa b'yom v'layla is a fundamental principle in Talmud Torah, and it's an endless, ongoing chiyuv. Now you might ask, according to Rabbi Shmuel, when will I get a chance to study Chochma Yevonis? I don't know. He says, "Seu v'dog zman shelo ben ayom v'lo ben alayla." I don't know what that means. Is there a slight, maybe ben hashmashos? I don't know. It depends how you define ben hashmashos. We had long discussions about that.
You have everything in whatever the plastic stuff they put in, so it doesn't get wet. Did a very long shower. You can do a lot of reading there.
You mean the thing that they use to cover the valises now? Suitcases?
The thing is that the
what happened to your bathroom from before? That was your
bathroom. These walls take care of that.
We say in Haggadah, we say Karv Yom Asher Lo Yom Lo Lo. So obviously there is such a, I mean, it's Karv, it's not here yet, but there is such an entity that exists.
Very good. So Mamela Rabosa, if we take this back to our discussion of before, Afilu Kulonu Chachomim, Misoleinu L'saper, we could say the following. The Havamina here, before the Baal HaGadol, was that the Mitzvah Sipur is a means to an end, the goal of which is to know and to understand all the miracles, all the parashios, all the causes and the effects and the impacts. But he says, Afilu Kulonu Chachomim, which means that the mitzvah of Sipur is a mitzvah of Sipur per se. That Sipur is not just a means to an end, and the goal is Yediyah. Afilu kulonu yodim es haTorah. There's nothing you can be mechadish to me. I know it all. Nevertheless, mitzvah is Saper. And this leads us to the V'gisa bo yom v'layla of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's called Kolam Marvel Saper Yetzias Mitzrayim Arezim Eshubach. It's not a matter of acquiring new knowledge. It's not a matter of transmitting knowledge. It's a matter of Sipur. And the Sipur goes on and on and on. And there's no end to the Sipur. And therefore, the Baal HaGadol is being mechadish here that Arichus in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is like Arichus in Talmud Torah. And it has to say V'gisa bo yom v'layla. And that's going to apply to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. And it's very interesting because following this discussion, we have the five Tanoim that were Mesapri Yetzias Mitzrayim Kol Osa Laila, right? Until the Talmidim said, wait a minute, it's time for Kriyat Shema. And that continuous Sipur is like the V'gisa bo yom v'layla of Talmud Torah. And it's very interesting because the Torah says Vishinantam Levanecha, that the Mitzvah Talmud Torah is written and formulated as Shinun. And Chazal say that Shinun means she divrei Torah mechudanim beficha. Now it could be that Ben Dama understood that if Vishinantam, which formulates the obligation of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, is mechudanim beficha, Chazal say Yishalcha, if you ask your question, you don't have to be megamgem, but Tomer lo miyad, Ben Dama felt that he achieved that goal. You know, he had a big diploma or a five-meter kappa dangling from his shoulder here, and it said that you ask me any question, I know it all. The answer is, okay, you know it all. But there's another dimension to Vishinantam, and that is the Etzem HaShinun. It's not just She'im Yish Alcha. That's just the sheer and understanding Yediyas HaTorah. But as far as Limud HaTorah as a means, as an end unto itself, you're not potter from the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. And that's what I think, getting back to page Shin Aleph in the Seder HaAruch, I think that's what he means when he says that's what I think he means when he says Sha'afu Yodea et Kol Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? He hasn't forgotten it from last year, and there's an accumulation of all the years, nevertheless Chayav B'mitzvah Zu, and that's the Afilu Chachomim, etc.
Marbel Sapam is repeating?
No, not necessarily, but in this case, if you're already a Yodea Sipur, then it would be repeating what you know. Now, if you take a look at Os Gimel over here, he asks the following question. There's a Mishnah at the beginning of Peah, and the Mishnah has a long enumerated list of Dvarim She'en Lahem Shiur, which means that you can continue and ad infinitum. You can do more and more and more. So, for example, in the mitzvah of peah, theoretically, you could give your entire field for the aniyim. Peah. So the question that he's asking here, which you'll see in number 8, is the Mishnah Rishon, one of the commentaries on Mishnayos, is why doesn't the mitzvah seek for Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is counted by most of the Monia mitzvahs, why doesn't that appear in the list at the beginning of Peah? Because Kol HaMarech L'Saper, Harei Zeh Meshubach. So it's a mitzvah Shein Lehem Shiur.
Krishma.
What do you mean by Krishma?
Zman Krishma is what stopped them.
No, again, all the mitzvahs that are listed there are within a certain time period, but within that time period, it's Ein Lehem Shiur. Do you follow what I mean? A shir means...
You mean how much you pack into
exactly,
that time?
In other
you
words,
say like 3 words or you say like...
You know, like if I were
thoughts.
To tell you that I give one out of 50 for Truma, right? Or 2 out of 100 for Truma, so then if it would be a mitzvah sheyesh la shir, it would mean the following.
Shir here would be in time, right?
Wait, let me just finish. Shir in that case would mean that the mitzvah has a shir, and let me give you an example. Matzah, that would be a classical case of a mitzvah sheyesh la shir. Why? Because once I ate my kezayis matzah, it's meaningless to eat another kezayis matzah. And here too, in the case of Truma, let's say it was Mafra's Truma, then it's meaningless to have another Afrash's Truma. But in certain very unique mitzvahs, I can continue the mitzvah, and you'll never say to me, well, it's meaningless. Why? Because right. You fulfilled the shir. There is no shir. So then, Sipitzis Mitzrayim, insofar as called Marech L'Saperez Meshubah, would be a classical case of a mitzvah, Sheyesh L'Shir, and it should have been listed in the Mishnah at the beginning of the page. Avein L'Shir.
Yes, I'm wrong about matzah, about time, because matzah also has time. It means I got it.
Right, it's not a time element. Right, we're talking about a shir in the asiyas mitzvah. Uh-huh. And here, the Mishnah Chrona, the Mishnah Rishona, quotes a fantastical answer to this question. He says that what's common to all the mitzvahs that are listed at the beginning of Peah, it means ein la shir lemata v'ein la shir lemala. There's no maximum shear, you can continue and add, and there's no minimum shear. Like, for example, chita achas poter sakri. So in Peah, if I set up one shibboleth for Peah, that's enough of a mitzvah, and I fulfill the mitzvah. There may be a shear lamata midrabbanon, and the rabbanon might impose upon us a minimum shear, but nevertheless, as far as the Doraisa is concerned, there's no minimum shear. Right now, you're yotzi with a mashahu.
So what bracha do you make?
Wait, just 1 second. I'm not up to brachas now. I'm just trying to understand when the Mishnah lists a mitzvah and when it omits a mitzvah. So that's what I want to focus my attention on. When we get to brachas, we can talk about brachas. But just if I can just indulge you to just focus your attention on this question. What qualifies as a mitzvah shein la shir to be incorporated in the Mishnah in Peah? Says the Mishnah Rishona that if you have a case where on a Doraisa level there is no shir lamata, you could be yotze with a mashahu, and the mitzvah continues and there's no shir lamala, that's called a mitzvah she'ein la shir. Ein la shir means it doesn't have a shir. What does the word shir mean? Shir means either a minimum or a maximum. It has no minimum, it has no maximum. On a Doraisa level, you can fulfill this mitzvah with the smallest amount possible, infinitesimal. And on the other level, the other end, you can continue the mitzvah ad infinitum. Says the Mishnah Rishona, Masha Ein Ke Mitzvah Sipur, Yesh La Shir Midoraisa Lamata. Although it's true, Kol HaMar B'Hareza Meshubach, which means as far as Lamal is concerned, no matter what you add, and no matter how long you add, continuously until the end of the mitzvah, meaning until Kriyat Shema Shel Shabbos, everything is a continuous kiyum. You're expanding your kiyum ad infinitum. But nevertheless, as far as the minimum shear is concerned, there is a shear in Haggadah, the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. He doesn't tell you what that shear is. That's good.
Yeah, he does. He says it in the beginning of the parashah.
Right. But that's only part of it. That's only a fraction of what the shear is. So what I'd like to show you here, and I think, Jeff, you photocopied this, is another paragraph here where he actually goes through the entire Shir Lamata. What does the Torah actually require as a minimum? I'll tell you in just a second. It should be, again, if you don't have it, I apologize, because again, I'm not always, because I'm learning different parts of the Sefer in order to integrate them. It should be a page that's called Shin Ayin Dalet. If by chance you have it, that's good. If you don't have it, you don't have it, and I apologize.
Yeah, I got the whole thing, so that's
right. Okay, you have the gold thing. So he says...
That sliced off.
What's it right, start with?
Can we project on the screen?
Yeah, I'm waiting, Daniil, till we can project things on the screen.
What does that say? It's,
I don't think you have that technology, do you? To project
it. I don't know how to project it. I mean, I can bring it up here, but
cut off that part. So right. For free. So
oh, you mean all we need is just a projector? Wait a minute, this is important for me.
In theory, that's all I need is a projector.
And then what, you connect it to the computer?
Make sure it's compatible.
Wow.
Then use PowerPoint.
How much would that cost? I'm willing to shell out for this. How much are we talking about? Yeah.
Sounds like you want a really good one.
I just want one that'll reach here, because every day I'm trying to write things on the board, and every day we can't find a black marker. And even if we find one, it doesn't work. Do you see this? Can you read this? But that's what I was able to write.
You're going to have to learn PowerPoint. You know that.
Well, maybe, you know, look, you can. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But maybe I'm not so old. Maybe I can learn new tricks.
You can write. You can write on.
The fact that I am able to put up my shiurim on YU Torah is itself, for me, an amazing achievement. And it took me years to get it down right. I still don't have it 100%. But so he says over here on page Shin Ayin Dalet that Ikar, you hear this? Ikar Chovas Hagada. What is the Ikar Chovas Hagada? So he starts with Avodim Ayinu Lefarav B'Mitzrayim. So I wrote a note to myself on the side. Lefiani is daiti, we have to start with ha lachma anya. Why? Because the Torah says bavur zeh, that the mitzvah of sipin tzayim depends upon the matzah. B'shoshesh matzah umara munachim lefanecha. Now again, whether you take the words b'shoshesh matzah in one way, literally, that the matzah is sitting there, or you take it more, you expand it to mean whenever there is a mitzvah of matzah, but the whole Achma Anya can be interpreted in one of two ways. Markedisle. Either means I'm pointing to the Lechem, and I'm saying that now I'm ready for the mitzvah of Sipur, because here's my Lechem Oni, showing him all of Dvarim Harbe. Or maybe it means whole Achma Anya, meaning now's the time for Lechem Oni. Now's the time for the mitzvah of Haggadah, because we have a Bavur Zeh. Okay, fine. Now he starts with Avodah Mayinu. Once again, I'd like to make a comment. Something has to precede Avodah Mayinu. What's that? Manishtana. The Manishtana is the Manishtana is the Shelu Tshuva. The Rambam goes out of his way at the beginning of Perek Zion when he defines the mitzvah of Sipur, that the whole mitzvah is fulfilled b'derech she'elo tshuva. The Rambam says it's a fallback position of Elo Ben Ishto Sholos of Elo Isha Hu Sholos Atzmo. I mean, there's a question and an answer, and the question is important. So again, when he starts with, again, you can look in the footnotes who he's quoting, it doesn't matter to me, but when he starts with Avodah Mayinu, that's very nice, but I think he skipped at least one element and probably two elements. Number one, you have to be Koveya, the Seuda, not the Seuda so much, but the Haggadah on the Matzah. And number two, you have to ask a question before you give an answer. Oh, now what is the answer to the question? So here we have a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So we have Avodah Mayinu, and we have Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. I forget who holds what. I always get this confused. I think it was Shmuel holds Avodah Mayinu, and Rav holds Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Maybe it's the other way around. Then he writes, Vidoresh Parshas Arami Oved Avi. So let's define the Haggadah, what I call the Shir Lamata, at this particular moment, with three elements, before we add the next two elements. So the first element is to point to the matzah, so to speak. That means we're setting up the Haggadah over the matzah. That's Bavur Zeh. The second element is She'elah. And now we're up to the third element, which is Tshuva. Now we get to the fourth element. The fourth element is Arami Oved Avi. Again, we're going to have a long, tedious discussion and analysis as to why Arami Oved Avi is such a critical part of the Haggadah. But suffice it to say that at the time of the Gaonim, Rav Nechunai Gaon and other Gaonim, they were asked the following question. Supposing I would read the parasha of Arami Oved Avi, four psukim, and that's it, without all the drushes. So Rav Nechunai answered, again, we'll get to this in Mirtz Hashem, it's also in these pages too, that not only have you forfeited the mitzvah of Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim because you didn't darsh in the parasha.
A chutzpah for asking.
More than a chutzpah day. What else? Exactly. He accuses him of being a tztuki who only believes in Torah Shebichsav and rejects Torah Shebaalpeh. So Torah Shebaalpeh is an essential part of being Doresh. That's what we call it. The Rambam says, V'Doresh Arami Ovid Ovid, Parshas Arami Ovid Ovid. It's the drasha meaning the Torah Shebaalpeh. So we have now four elements in the what I call the Shia Lamata. Then he goes on and he says, Pesach Shayu Ochlim, Matzah Zu Shanu Ochlim, Marazeh Shanu Ochlim. And that means that we describe and explain the mitzvahs. What are the Tameh mitzvahs? And that's, of course, the Mishnah Rabba Gamliel. Then he says, we're ready for Hallel. So I'm not sure what number we're up to. Maybe five? What? All right, who cares? Whatever it is, you'll make the calculation. And this last element starts with Bechol Dar V'Dar, and it ends with Osanu Hotzi Hashem Misham, and Lefichach Anu Chayovim Lahodus Lahal, etc., etc. The Nomer Lefon of Shira Chadosha, and then we recite the first two paragraphs of Hallel. And then we get to the Brach of Gal Yisra. And then he writes, V'shar kol ha-nusach ha-gadah. And here I'm going to rewrite the text here, because I know Yechiel, you have the text in front of you, so I'm going to rewrite it. I'm telling you right up front. V'shar nusach ha-brocha, hainu kol ha-marbel l'saper b'tzis mitzrayim ha-reizim m'shubach. In other words, if these five elements represent the shir l'mata, then all the other minhagim and all the other traditions and all the liturgy and all the dayenus and kava milas tovos and how many makas lukual yadam yad yamsu, all that is begeder ribui and called marva reizim eshuva.
So he's calling on Rav Nechunai.
What do you mean?
Well, Rav Nechunai said, you mean if you change any of the seder hagadah shetik the chacham. But they were not misaking those other. He's telling you what the chacham was misaking.
Wait a second. You'll correct me, Yechiel. But let me just say what I understood from the Choy Gon. From the Choy Gon was saying that if you read Arami Ovid Avi and you omit the drashos, you're chashed on being a min and you're not yotzi the mitzvah. Why is adding all that ribui dvarim a problem? I didn't understand from Rav Nechunai Gaon.
I understood. I just read the words. Rav Sinder Rav Amram Gaon, Rav Shem Rav Nechunai Gaon, Sheish Lama Kol Seder Hagadah Shetik the Chacham Vamedalig Minu.
But where are you? What are we on the same page?
Number three on the bottom.
Oh, a footnote on the bottom. Okay, good. I didn't even know he quotes Rav Nechunai Gaon. He says the following: Re'eis Sinder Amram Sheish Lama Kol Seder Hagadah Shetik the Chachamim. Umidalig Vehamidalig Minhu Bechayov Kol Akihilos Lindoso. Okay, so this I never saw.
So I don't know what he means by Kol Agoda Shetik the Chacham. Which part was the Chacham Masakin? If they're Masakin all the things that the Sederah left out, then
so you feel. Let me just tell you what I understood, and then we can check out his sources and so forth and so on. I think I have a quote from that Trunoiko, but I'm not sure if it's in. If it's in these pages, and maybe you can do a quick research from Rav Nechunai going. It's on the section of Arami Ovid Ovi, but it's not in these pages, I don't think. In any event, what I understood from Rav Nechunai going is that in the context of Arami Ovid Ovi, it's absolutely critical that you read the psukim and you interpret them based on the drushes of Chazal. And if you refuse to do that, then you're chashed to be a tztuki. Now, in terms of anything you want to add and embellish, right? That's fine. And all the minhagim of Klal Yisrael would be another, you know, way of facilitating Klal Marvel Asaper HaRez and Shuba.
I'm not arguing with the concept. I'm just arguing is the Seder Aruch telling us what is the basic language of what Chachamim were misaking, and then everything else was added over the generations. Or is he saying no? It was all Al-Pi Chachamim, but there is a minimum you have to say. Which would Rav Kahane say there is no minimum? You have to say it all.
Right. So I think I understood that what he's doing in this paragraph is he's trying to set up what are the various elements A, B, C, D, and E, which are absolutely critical. That's the Shir Lamata, without which you forfeit the mitzvah of CPT spirituality. Then he adds a comment, Vishar called Nusach Hagoda, who minog shenog called Yisrael, that comes under
Kala Marbalis. Which is not from Tikkun Chacham.
Right, those are minhagim.
They were added later on.
Added later on, for centuries upon centuries.
Okay, so he must have come up with...
Again, the expert, as I've told you 50 million times, is my friend Rav Tavori, who wrote his PhD thesis at Bar Ilan on the Haggadah. And what he tries to prove is that during various historical periods, they added pieces to the Haggadah over the period of time. And the Rambam gives you the abridged Nusach of the Haggadah at the end of Hilchas Chametz Matzah. And I think if you open up the Rambam, you'll see these elements that we mentioned before. Okay, let's go back to page Shin Ayin, which is where we were starting. And he says the following. Amasapi b'yitzias mitzrayim achar achiloso. In other words, we're in a bind over here. Why? Because on the one hand, kol amarvel esaper is in the shubach. But on the other hand, we want to get down to the meal, because we're hungry and because the children have to go to sleep and we want to keep the children awake. So we want to abridge in time at least and not expand the Haggadah. So therefore, if you want to add and embellish the Haggadah of Kol HaMarvel HaSaper, wait until after the Achila. And the mitzvah of CPT Shrine can be fulfilled even after the Achila. Now again, he's touching on very sensitive ground over here, because it really depends upon how you understand Bavur Zeh. If you need the matzah, and you've already eaten the matzah, so then yesh lachor. But he's assuming now you don't need the matzah, even though you ate the matzah, or maybe just put a piece of matzah, whatever you have to do.
Could it be meaning after Achila, but before Afikomen?
Well, maybe the Afikomen would be enough. And he says that the Mishnah says in Psachim, it says, Chotfim Matzos belele psachim bishvil hatinokos shelo yishnu. We don't have that chotfim minhag. We have more the minhag of they steal it themselves and so forth. But whatever it is, it's all to keep the children awake. So now, if you're going to do the kol marbel esaper for hours and hours, the children are going to fall asleep, and therefore his language is kodem ha'achila. If you have this choice, better yesh lekatzer ba'agoda bishvil hatinokos. So, in other words, before you get to the achila, that's when you have the attention of the children. They're not falling asleep at this point. That's going to be the time for the haggadah. So, make sure you cover all your bases on what we call lamata, the shir lamata, before the achila. Now, the achila is going to take a while, especially if you eat gebrachs and you're going to eat the knedla. So, it's going to take a while. So, by then, the children are already out of it. You know, even though they might be awake. But to gather their attention, at that point, you more or less lost it. So at this point, go on and on. You know, you want to add, you want to have questions, you want to be marech, is a reza meshuvah.
But as well as that, the tinochos you're talking about are actually the adults, so he's got you on
that. Is that a cynical comment? Yeah. All right, now here on Daf Shin Ayin Aleph, again, if you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. He asks the following question. He says that, just one second, he says, Yesh Makshim, Loma Muveis Ba'agoda Piskas Omer Rabbi Lozar. Now, Rabbi Lozar has a whole, this is Rabbi Lozar ben Azariah, he has a whole discussion here about Bolelos. You know, it says Kol Yimei Chayecha, where the Kol Yimei Chayecha means Af Balelos. What's the subject of that whole paragraph in the Haggadah?
Just the question of whether you say Kriyat Shema Balayla because that's...
Well, not exactly Kriyat Shema. It could be it's relevant to Kriyat Shema as well, but Kriyat Shema says explicitly B'Shal B'Kav Kumecha. But we're talking about another mitzvah that's relevant to Kriyat Shema. The mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right. It says Zocher is Yom Hazeh Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. So the question is there a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim at night? And that's a plugta between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma and so forth and the Chachamim. So he asks the following question: Yesh Makshim, Lama Muveis Ba'agad Piskezu She'ena Medaberes Klal Miinyan Tzipius Mitzrayim Ela Miinyan and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Sheno Heges B'Chol Hashana. Why is it that this piska is included in the Haggadah? Again, even if you'll say, well, it's not necessarily the Shir Lamata and it's not critical, but nevertheless it appears in our Haggadahs. Why would the Minhag Yisrael, even if it's only a Minhag, inject this paragraph into the structure of the Haggadah? This is not relevant to our mitzvah, namely the mitzvah of Sipur. This is relevant to the whole year round, the mitzvah of Zechir. So he offers the following answer in the name of the Nesivus, the Bala Nesivus. He says the following: what the Haggadah is almost an introduction to the mitzvah of Sipur wants to point out is that there are two separate mitzvahs and you shouldn't confuse them. There's one mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that mitzvah applies every night of the year. And that mitzvah is fulfilled by Zechira Koldu. Any mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim is enough. Just mention God, you took us out of Mitzrayim, you fulfilled that mitzvah. However, we should understand that tonight we are obligated and involved in a different mitzvah, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is called Amar Bareza Meshuvah, which means that the mitzvah is not fulfilled just by mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, but you have to go into great detail and you have to fulfill all those requirements that we spoke about before. So again, if you have these pages, I'd like you to take a look at page 34, which is the next page that we were up to. Actually, we should start from the bottom of page 33. Yesh lishol, mama komo shel keta zeba agoda. This is more or less the Nesivus' kasha. The subject of our mitzvah tonight is not the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the subject of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma, but rather the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we're going to offer two possible answers to the question. One answer is the answer that we see here in the name of the Nesivus, and then perhaps we embellish it a little bit further. Nira Lomar, what was the intention of the Haggadah is to tell us of the chashivus of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Meaning you might think, well, once a year I have to pay lip service and think and talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but that's it. No. The significance of Yitzias Mitzrayim is such, it is so central and fundamental that it expands to the entire year. Now the whole year round, when it's not the Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim or the Leil Nisan Minaflos, we suffice with Zechira Koldehu. It's enough just to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tonight is the night in which we delve heavily and profoundly into Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the very fact that the whole year round we're required to mention and remember Yitzias Mitzrayim not once a day, but according to Ben Zoma, twice a day, Laila and Yom, that indicates how significant, how central the concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim is in the Jewish world of Avodas Hashem.
But does that mean you're saying that the only difference between Sephira and Sipur is beyond the minimum required, everything beyond the minimum required for Sephira is Sipur?
What, the whole year round or just this night?
The whole year round.
No, I don't know that that's so. I mean, there's no halach of kol amar the whole year round.
Yeah, no,
you know, zechira kol. This is a mitzvah sheyesh la shir, shir lamata and a shir lamala.
But he's saying we have a mitzvah of zechira. So what is the minimum for zechira? Just mentioning the pasuk.
Yeah, just say zechel itzis mitzrayim. I don't even know if you have to say the pasuk. I mean, that itself is a different question. But be that as it may, in the language of the Bala Nesivus, it's a zechira kol dehu. A culture.
So once he does that, he postures himself with that. Everything beyond that is Sipur, and
again, beyond that, there's no mitzvah the whole year round. But the Bala Gada wants to show you is the contrast between what goes on the whole year round, namely the Zechira Kolduhu, and what goes on this particular night, which is not a Zechira Kolduhu. And why is it important for the Bala Gada to emphasize that tonight is a different mitzvah than Zechira the whole year round. Well, first of all, to tell you that Sipa requires more than just Zechira Kol Du and all the other elements that are critical. But moreover, on a philosophical level, the Baal HaGod is really conveying to us the message of how significant, how central is the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim within the context of Avodas Hashem. It's so central that it's not something that we link up with once a year, right? You have a mitzvah that we link up once a year and that's it. But rather the entire year is totally dedicated to remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo explains why is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, why is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, why is it so critical? And the Ramban says that all the fundamentals of our faith, all the Yesodei Adas, are proven, are demonstrated through Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Bali Musar, by the way, I'm teaching, you know, once a week I give a class in Musar here, right here in this room, I want to tell you about this group, a very interesting group of young men. I hold they're going to be leaders in Klal Yisrael. I don't know which part of Klal Yisrael, I'm not sure, because they're not necessarily full-fledged Bali Tshuva, but they're an unbelievable group of guys. And we studied the Kelmer Magid. And the Kelmer Magid, the Altar of Kelm, who was probably the outstanding disciple of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he has one principle which he takes over and over and over again. And he says that the human being has to be disciplined, has to be controlled, he has to be focused. His whole thesis is about focus, and he says the enemy of man is distraction. He calls it pizur, when we get distracted. And he uses Yetzias Mitzrayim as a paradigm example of his Musar ideology. And that is that the fact that the Torah forces us and compels us to constantly remember Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim means the Torah wants to get the message across that there are certain things, certain ideas that are so fundamental that we have to keep them close to our mind constantly, never be distracted from them. Over and over again, on a daily basis, twice. He explains, therefore, if a person eats chametz, the Torah is very, very severe with him, because basically eating chametz means he's cutting himself off from this constant awareness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says that every single holiday that we have is Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just Pesach. And the mitzvah daily of Zechiras Yitzrayim, the special mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, Sipur Yitzrayim, all this is because the Torah is training us that there's certain pieces of knowledge, certain ideas that we have to constantly review in our minds and never be distracted from them. And that's what he says. Okay, Rabbos, do we have one more minute? I just want to show you something here on the bottom of page Shinai and Aleph. And I think there's a little bit of a textual mistake here. But in any event, he writes the following. Do you remember, Rabosa, we spoke about the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Gimel about a certain individual who was criticized because he got up and after he said Akel Agol, Agiba Vanora, he kept adding descriptions to God and praising God, and they said, how can you do this? Ad Khan? Are you telling me? Finally, he exhausted all of his lexicon, all the words that he had to describe God. So the question that he asks here on the bottom of page Shinai and Aleph is, why is it that on the Leil HaSeder we say called Marbel Saper, which again he's identifying now at this point Sipur with Shevach, so he's reading it as if it says Kol Amarbel Shabeach as Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hareza Meshubach. Isn't this a violation of the rule that we saw in the Gemara in Brachos? And the answer is, he quotes in the name of Rishonim, the Rashban Brachos, that this din, that you're not allowed to be marbe b'shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a separate din in tefillah. Why? Because Chazal established a nusach of tefillah, and that's the heter for us to daven, and we can say, Hakel Agodol Agibar Vanora. And then he says, V'lachain, if it was up to me, I would take out the word V'lachain, and instead I would put the word Ach, or Ulam. Ulam here on top of Shinai and Beis, with regard to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shapir. That's not in the framework of Tefillah. Now you may remember that we once had a discussion here in the same Sefer about Heseba, apparently there was such a thing as a minog to do a seva during the reading of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just during the drinking of wine and eating of the matzah, etc. And he brings an objection to that. And he says, because Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is like tefillah, and it requires Eimah V'Yira, and the posture of Haseva is antithetical to that posture that's appropriate for tefillah. But here he's saying, on the contrary, that the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's not a mitzvah of tefillah. It's a mitzvah of Shevach, but it's a mitzvah of Shevach that's ongoing, called Marba Reza Meshuvah, because it's not part of the Mizgeret of tefillah. So here Chazal, although they gave us general guidelines and certain basic critical requirements, but they allowed for license and room to for expansion. Not so in the case of tefillah. There Chazal established exactly what words we're allowed to use to be Meshaveach Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're not allowed to add beyond them. Take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos, and thank you very much for a very productive week.
So if not that kind of tefillah, you can say many shvachos Hashem, and there's no problem, like Megadev.
Right. Okay. We're not adding to the tefillah. Well, or the other way of learning it, Sam, is that there's a special matir of shevach in the context of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim called a marba reza meshuvah. That's what we have to add.